This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning. Welcome back. We have another edition of Phillies Today in store for you guys. I'm Kyle Forsini here with you for the next half an hour, talking all things Philadelphia Phillies after they finished a 5-1 road trip where they went to Tampa Bay to play at Steinbrenner Field against the Rays. They then followed that up by going to Cleveland for another 3-game set that culminated on Sunday Night Baseball with a Phillies victory. They go 5-1 on that road trip, which is exactly what the doctor ordered. It's exactly what I had hoped for. I had said last week, if this team can go 4-2 on this road trip, I would have been happy. Win 2 out of 3 in both of those series, and we will be having a good vibe coming back home to Citizens Bank Park. They, of course, sweeped out the Tampa Bay Rays in the minor league ballpark, go 3-0 to start the road trip. They lose game 1 in Cleveland, but then they win the next 2, which I think is very impressive to do that on the road, to lose the first game of a series, but then to go on and to win the next 2 after that. Very impressive stuff that the Phillies put together on that road trip. Look, the Tampa Bay series might be a little Mickey Mouse. A, they're not a very good team. They are not playing in a real major league ballpark. There are just about 10,000 fans there. I would have estimated about over half were Phillies fans that were there. So it's not quite the road environment that they saw when they went up to Citi Field and got trounced, or when they went to Atlanta, or even when they went to play the Cubs. But still good to just get that road record up to win. That's one of my major concerns I've had with this team. I voiced that concern a lot last week, that they were not good on the road. They were not playing good baseball outside of Citizens Bank Park. But they put that together. They were 5-9 on the road going into this road trip. Obviously, after going 5-1 on that road trip, they've improved their road record to now 10-10, even at 500 on the road so far this season. They are 7 games above 500, period, through the entire season. So 500 on the road, 7 games above 500 at home. And one of those home losses, unfortunately, happened last night when the Phillies lost 3-2 to the St. Louis Cardinals. It was Christopher Sanchez on the hill versus for the Phillies. Matthew Liberatore was on the mound for the Cardinals. Liberatore went 5 1/3, 7 hits, 2 runs. They took him out after 80 pitches, which felt wild to me. Now, Liberatore is a guy that has gone deeper into game so far this season. I mean, he had gone 6 innings or better in every start but 2 going into that one against the Phillies last night. So he had been a really good pitcher for the Cardinals so far this season. Was very surprised they took him out when they did for, you know, 5 1/3. Didn't feel like that was the real reason that they needed to take him out. But the Cardinals did. Unfortunately, the Phillies were not able to get into that Cardinal bullpen and get runs. They did lose the game, like I mentioned, 3-2. Christopher Sanchez for the Phillies went 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs. He had 3 walks along with 8 strikeouts. So the control has been a little bit of an issue for Sanchez, especially of late. He has walked 3 batters in 3 consecutive starts. Prior to that, he had walked 2 batters in 2 of his previous 3 starts. So he has had an issue with control so far this season, which is not the Chris Sanchez that we have seen in really the last 2 seasons, I would say, especially not last year. He had really kind of figured that out, and that was kind of the number one issue with Sanchez, is that the control wouldn't always be there. If you remember back to 2021, even the early parts of 2022, really a lot of 2022. You know, Sanchez was the guy that was coming up. He was doing the day-night doubleheader. He'd come up, he'd be the extra roster spot, and he'd pitch you a game in a doubleheader. You never really felt a whole lot of confidence with him on the mound. It was going to be a lot of walks. It might be a slower game because of that. And he really got rid of that. And that was one of the main reasons, I think, why the Phillies gave him that contract extension, is the control issues had seemingly gone by the wayside. The strikeout numbers went up, and he became a much better pitcher at the hands of Caleb Cotham. Unfortunately for what's going on right now, the walks have kind of started to plague him again. But still, he's been really good this year. He's 4-1 with a 2.91 earned run average so far on the season. He's still getting a lot of strikeouts, 12 in that game against San Francisco a month ago, 8 last night, 5 against Tampa, 6 against Washington. Like, he still has the stuff to get guys out. He's just kind of being effectively wild, I guess, in a sense. But he pitched well enough to get a win last night. Unfortunately, did not get it. The Phillies offense basically stymied all night. They did not score a run. They scored a run on an Edmundo Sosa single that was Nolan Arenado dropped. It might have been an out had Arenado not dropped the ball trying to throw it to first base. I would have originally called it a fielder's choice, but Sosa beats it out. Scorers in Major League Baseball, as we know, it's a major epidemic. They want to give everybody a hit. They don't want to call anything an error in this day and age. So they do get a run technically on a Sosa infield single, and then they scored another run on a fielder's choice that was hit by JT Realmuto. But no long balls last night. The Cardinals had two. Mason Wynn and Ivan Herrera both hit home runs for the Cardinals. They go on to win 3-2. The home run in the seventh inning from Mason Wynn came off of Matt Strom. Phillies bullpen had seemingly kind of been fine as of late, and Strom has been weird so far this season. I don't want to say Strom's been terrible, because I wouldn't say he's been terrible, but he's definitely been weird. He hasn't been the Matt Strom, especially not the Matt Strom we saw through the first half of last season. He has not been that good, obviously. That was an insane Matt Strom that we saw when he was an all-star last season, but he hasn't been quite as good. He hasn't been the Matt Strom that we saw last year. He hasn't been the Matt Strom we even saw 2 years ago. He's been this is probably the worst version of Strom we've seen, and it's still not a bad version of Matt Strom. So still have a lot of faith in him. Orion Kerkering came in after him in the eighth inning, threw a scoreless eighth with one strikeout. Nice to see him finally have a clean inning. That is two consecutive outings where Kerkering has had a clean inning after he gave up three runs in that game in Tampa Bay that they did end up winning. I'm looking at Tanner Banks. He gave up one run against Tampa Bay in that game last week on May 6th. So to have another clean inning for him, good to see him not giving up any runs, maybe trying to figure some things out. He had a rough stretch there where he gave up runs against Miami, the Mets, the Washington, and then again against Tampa Bay. But he's had some scoreless outings since then, which is good to see. And then Tanner Banks, who did give up those three runs as I mentioned against Tampa Bay the other week, the Phillies did come back and win that game, fortunately. He's had another scoreless outing, two in a row for him. He's really been a better pitcher than I think the Phillies would have expected this season. Tanner Banks, quietly a guy who in a one-run game in the ninth inning, Rob Thompson feels comfortable enough to go in there and to put him on the mound and know that they're going to be able to come back in the ninth, still only down one, and have a chance to win the ballgame. He has been a good pitcher so far for the Phillies. If you don't remember, they got him last season at the trade deadline from the White Sox. Kind of a guy that just feels like he's always on mop-up duty, but as of late, he's pitched a lot better. The Phillies have felt more comfortable giving him more high-leverage situations, and he is delivering in those situations. So Tanner Banks, credit to him. He's kind of made himself a far better pitcher than he was. Now, if you go back to Sunday's game against the Guardians, Wheeler goes to 7 shutout, looks amazing, 8 strikeouts, only 3 hits. Zach Wheeler in his last 2 outings has thrown 14 innings, has given up only 2 runs. In those starts, he has 17 strikeouts. So 14 innings, 17 strikeouts, 2 runs for Wheeler. It's been pure domination from Zach Wheeler so far. And it was nice to see that happen on the road. It was nice to see him do that in Tampa. Again, I mentioned it was a minor league ballpark. Do we really want to call that it's a road game. It's not in Citizens Bank Park, but it's not your normal road game. But to go follow that up with what he did in Cleveland and just shutting down that lineup, giving up only 3 hits to them, was dynamite, was very good to see. It was nice to see Wheeler kind of becoming the Wheeler that we think can win a Cy Young. He's got his ERA back under 3, and I say that because he did have those 2 outings where his ERA ballooned to a 4.07 after he gave up 5 runs to Atlanta. He gave up 4 runs to the Cardinals. Fortunately, he doesn't face the Cardinals this week. You'd love to see him get a little revenge against them. He will not face the Cardinals this week, but he has pitched very well over his last 2 starts and over the last 14 innings that he's been on the mound. So a lot of credit to Zach Wheeler. He's becoming the ace that they need again. Looking forward to his next start against Pirates. He's getting another really favorable start. It's going to be on Friday. Oh, no, I believe it's actually on Saturday. Yeah, it's on Saturday against the Pirates, who the Phillies play after this series against the Cardinals. It's going to be Paul Skenes will face the Phillies for the first time in his career. They dodged him last year, but they will face him on Sunday. So that'll be fun to see the Phillies attempt to hit Paul Skenes. Skenes has not had as good of a year this year as he did last year. He's got a 3-4 record with a 2.63 ERA. It's still good. He just plays for the Pirates, so he's not getting a lot of run support or wins. But he is not having the sub-2 ERA season that he had last year that won him Rookie of the Year and got him an opportunity to start in the All-Star game. Previewing our matchup tonight against the Cardinals, it's going to be Sonny Gray on the hill versus Jesus Luzardo. Sonny Gray, 4-1 with a 3.50 ERA. He went 7 shutout in his last outing against Pittsburgh, only gave up 2 hits and 1 walk, so only 3 base runners for Sonny Gray in that start against the Pirates. The Phillies have not faced him so far this year. If you go back to last year, I believe the Phillies did face him in 2024. They did on June 1st of last year. That was a game that was in Philadelphia. The Phillies got 5 innings out of 5 innings. Sonny Gray went to give up 4 runs. He did strike out 10 in a June 1st game at Citizens Bank Park that the Phillies went on to win 6-1. And so that's the last time that the Phillies had faced Sonny Gray, who's had a very good start to the year so far for the Cardinals. So look out for Sonny Gray in this matchup coming up. Is the game going to happen? I think is a question that a lot of us can ask because of the rain that's been going around on the East Coast, the rain that's seemingly going to stay here. And just looking at the forecast right now, things do not look great in the 6 to 7 o'clock hour time for tonight's game. I would be surprised if they got this one in. Now, they might just have to play through rain period. So I don't know if Rob Thompson, so this is the second time the Phillies are playing the Cardinals. It's not like this is they're ever going to come back here. So if they want to get this game in, they're going to try because the Cardinals aren't coming back this area for the rest of the season. They've already played the Mets in New York, so it's not like they have really any reason to come back in this area. So I would assume that they're going to try everything in their power to get this game in tonight, but remains to be seen whether or not they actually will. And that kind of goes for the rest of the game so far this week. I mean, there's rain in the forecast seemingly every day until Sunday in the Philadelphia area. So not an ideal week to be home. You almost wish that they were on the road this week so you can get nicer weather when you eventually do come back. But not an ideal weather week for the Phillies. And it stinks that they lose game one of this series on Monday night when you have the opportunity to potentially not have a whole lot of games played this week. And look, obviously, you don't know what's going to happen 2 days from now. The weather forecast could completely shift. But as it looks right now, things are not looking great weather-wise. I know the saying goes that you don't want to look at the standings until Memorial Day, which I've kind of subscribed to this season. I have not been that fan in years past. I've been freaking out over what the Phillies were doing standing-wise from the start of the season and getting worked up or feeling confident about what they were doing or being happy that they were 6 in front of the Braves. You know, I have kept tabs on what has gone on standing-wise for the Phillies the last couple of seasons and my desperate hopes to see them in the postseason. And they are currently 24-17 in the second wild card spot. If the season ended today, which obviously it doesn't, there are still 5 more months left to go in this long haul of a season. It's only May 13th. I know they say don't look at the standings till Memorial Day. We are doing it about 2 weeks in advance here. Phillies are a half game ahead in the 2 spot of the San Francisco Giants, who are in the last wild card spot. Giants are 24-18. St. Louis is actually the first team out of the wild card right now. They have won 9 games in a row. They are 23-19. They lost a game to the Mets on May 2nd. They have not lost since. Swept the Mets in a doubleheader, swept the Pirates 3 straight, went to Washington and swept the Nationals 3 straight. And then, of course, in Philly, they are currently in the midst of a 9-game road trip. They are 4-0 on this road trip so far, which is pretty dang impressive what the Cardinals are doing right now. They're the first team out. They're a game behind the Giants, game and a half behind the Phillies. And the Phillies are a game and a half behind the Padres, for the number one wild card spot. Padres are 25-15. I say this to say, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, people were freaking out. The Phillies were 500. We were looking at the NL West and seeing how dominant the NL West was, saying that it's the National League is way more packed this year, and there's a lot more teams to worry about. All this, anybody who had any real fear about the San Francisco Giants, I think we can put that to bed. Giants are fine. They're 24-18, but they were overachieving mightily from the beginning of the season. They have lost 4 straight. They got swept in Minnesota by the Twins. They lost last night to the Diamondbacks 2-1. They have lost 5 of their last 7 games. Not a good stretch for the Giants. I think that they are a team that was playing way over their head, getting guys to perform a lot better than what their back of their baseball card might say. So not a whole lot of fear in the Giants and me. I think that they're going to keep falling back to the pack. And I think the Phillies will become one of the better teams in the National League, we won't have a whole lot to worry about. And I think that they'll be fine. It's kind of a contrast from where I was maybe a couple of weeks ago when I was concerned about how the Phillies were playing and was not completely sold. And look, to be honest with you, I still think this is a team that can make the playoffs. I think their pitching rotation is going to keep them in so many games and be kind of the crutch of this baseball team where the bats might not always be there. I mean, they only scored two runs last night. They scored three in Cleveland the night prior, but Kyle Schwarber scored three runs in that series against in that last game against Cleveland. It wasn't like the Phillies offense did anything outside of Schwarber. He knocked in every run in that game. But their pitching staff is their defense. The fact that they have five guys that can go out and give you seven shutout anytime they go on the hill, that is the confidence boost of this team. You know, they don't need to score a whole lot of runs every night. You can win a game with only scoring three runs like they did on Sunday night in Cleveland. You know, you don't need to go out and score seven consecutive, you know, have six or seven nights in a row where you score seven runs like they had a couple of days ago. You can just go out there and scratch across three, four runs, and you should feel confident that you have an opportunity to win the game. And they've had the bullpen issues kind of be figured out in that Sunday night game in Cleveland. Wheeler goes seven shutout. You then get scoreless innings without even giving up a base runner from Jose Alvarado and from Jordan Romano. And if Romano can become the guy that we think he is, if Romano can be the guy that the Phillies originally thought that they were going to get going into this year, that is a massive upgrade to the bullpen, and it's not the sexy addition. It's not the guy at the trade deadline. It's not the Ryan Helsley who we saw yesterday completely stymie the Phillies in the ninth inning and make the guys look silly. It's not that, but it's getting a guy producing back to his original form, getting a guy to be confident in what he has in his stuff to get him back to the level he needs to be at. And Romano now has not given up a run since that tenth inning game on April 23rd against the Mets. He's gone scoreless inning against the Cubs, two scoreless in the series against Arizona, a scoreless inning against Tampa Bay, and then, of course, gets the save, and there was a scoreless ninth inning with two strikeouts against the Guardians on Sunday Night Baseball. So if you get him back to that form, and if you can start slotting him into the closer role more frequently, you've got a really good opportunity to win games on your hand, because Alvarado has been the de facto closer. He does lead the team with six saves, but Thompson is a lot of times a guy that likes to roll with matchups, and he liked the matchups with Alvarado in that eighth inning game against the Guardians. He does his job. He goes to scoreless inning, doesn't give up any base runners. But then, of course, you need to turn it over to somebody else in the ninth inning. It happens to be that is Jordan Romano, who does a very good job of getting through that ninth inning with basically zero stress at all. And the velocity's up. The breaking pitches are looking more sharp. He's hitting his spots better than he was. So I think we can see a little bit of a resurgence from Jordan Romano. I know we've seen it already, but I think people are going to start coming around on him. People are going to start being more confident in Jordan Romano going forward. And hopefully he can continue to provide that and keep making you feel that way, because he's been really good over the last couple of outings. All right, there you have it. That is my current state of the Phillies as we have it right now. Jesus Luzardo is on the mound for the Phillies tonight against Sonny Gray. Luzardo is 3-0 with a 2.11 ERA. He went 5 1/3. He's got 5 1/3 his last two outings. Really did not have his stuff against either Arizona or Tampa Bay. He hasn't looked as crisp. So assuming that this game does happen tonight for the Phillies, they're able to get this one in. I'm looking for a better outing out of Luzardo. Hopefully he can work this Cardinals lineup and get a lot of quick outs, because Luzardo has had some trouble getting into deep counts in the last couple of outings. He was at 60 pitches, I think, through into the third inning against Tampa Bay in his last outing. He still grinds through 5 1/3, only gives up two runs. Like, he still can go out there and give you a good outing even when he doesn't have his A stuff. So that's the good news about Luzardo, but looking for a better bounce back start from him. Looking for a 4-2 homestand right now for the Phillies. Win the last two against St. Louis and win two out of three against the Pirates, and things are still going to be looking up before you go on the road for Sacramento. They're not Oakland. It's weird to call them Sacramento. They will always be Oakland in my head, but that's where the Phillies go after this. Okay, let's whip it around Major League Baseball here as we close things out in this episode. A very scary injury from Oswaldo Cabrera in the Yankee game last night, scoring on an Aaron Judge fly ball. I don't know exactly what had happened. They haven't said anything as to what the exact issue was, but his ankle was really, really messed up trying to score on a flag, on a sack fly from Aaron Judge. He did score the run, but unfortunately his ankle goes in a direction it really shouldn't be going. Athletic trainers quickly tended to him. They had an ambulance come on the field to get him out of there. So hopes and, you know, thoughts and prayers to Oswaldo Cabrera for what he had to go through last night in that Yankee game. The Yankees do win 11 to 5 over the Seattle Mariners. They maintain a 3-game lead in the American League East over the Boston Red Sox, who are 22-21. They are the only other team in the AL East that is above 500 right now is Boston. They have a plus 17 run differential as well. So stats might tell you that Boston can start going on a run here and start expanding that over 500 record. Toronto is in third place in the division. They are 3.5 games back. They are 20-20. Tampa Bay 18-22. After getting swept by the Phillies, Tampa then went on to Milwaukee and won 2 out of 3. So they are looking up after that sweep against the Phillies. And Baltimore currently 15-24. A terrible start to the year for them. They got swept in Minnesota last week, but then followed that up with a win at the Angels. So Baltimore kind of righted the ship a little bit, but a bad road trip for them and a bad start to the season for them. Things are not looking good as of now for the Orioles. Starting pitching really has been their Achilles heel, and the offense has not been good at all. They've kind of just been down in the dumps the entire season. Detroit, 27-15. They are tied for a second best record in baseball. The Dodgers by a half game are 27-14, but them and the Mets are 27-15, tied for the second best record. They lead the AL Central by 2.5 games over the Guardians, who are 24-17. Kansas City, after a slow start to the year, they're 25-18. They're 2.5 games back as well. Minnesota has come storming back after a really bad start to the year. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games, and Minnesota is 5.5 games back in that division. And the White Sox are 12-29. They are not the worst team in baseball, though. The Rockies, of course, hold that spot right now, but Chicago 12-29. Picking off roughly where they left off last year. Not a very good team. Not a good start to the year for them. Not a whole lot of hopes in South Chicago. Seattle leads the American League West. They are 22-18. That division, kind of weird. You've got a lot of teams hovering around 500. The division is only a five-game difference from first to last. The Angels are in last place, 17-23. They are 5 back. Sacramento, the A's, 21-20. They are a game and a half behind the Seattle Mariners. The Rangers are 21-20. They have not had a good stretch in their last couple of games. The Rangers have been kind of struggling as of late. They're 21-20 in their 500, and the Astros are 20-20. They are 2 games back as well of Seattle. So 20-20 is the fourth place spot in the division. 21-21 is the third place spot. 21-20 is the second place spot, and 22-18 leads that division. So like I said, so many teams just hovering around 500 right now in the AL West. But the Mariners currently lead that division. They've had some injuries to their pitching staff. George Kirby's been on the IL since the season began. Logan Gilbert remains on the IL for them. So they've had some issues with that pitching staff staying healthy. But the offense has been a lot better so far this year for the Mariners. The NL East, of course, the Phillies 2.5 games behind the Mets. They are 24-17. The Mets are 27-15. The Mets won against Pittsburgh last night. They gave up one run in the ninth inning. Were able to come back, though, on a Pete Alonso sacrifice fly that scored Francisco Lindor to win that game. So they improved to 27-15. They have a plus 68 run differential, 6.43 win percentage on the year. It has been a phenomenal start to the year for the Mets. The Phillies behind them by 2.5 games. Then 6.5 back, you go and you see Atlanta. Atlanta is currently 20-21. They won in the ninth inning after giving up 2 runs in the ninth inning on a Nick Allen error. The Braves come back and win that in the bottom of the ninth inning, so they are 6.5 back. Washington, 17-25. They've really fallen back to the pack after getting swept by the Cardinals previous, and they lost 2 out of 3 to the Guardians before that. So they are not, and they're in the midst of a really rough stretch. They have lost 6 games in a row and 7 of their last 6 of their last 7 games. It has not been a pretty stretch for the Nationals. And then at 15-25, 11 games back are the Marlins. They are dead last right now in the division. So the Nationals and the Marlins have kind of fallen back to the pack, kind of doing what they've done for the last decade, it seems, playing bad baseball. But that is where we are at right now in the National League East. The Cubs lead the NL Central by a game over those hot Cardinals, who have won 9 in a row. The Cubs are 24-18, Cardinals 23-19. Nobody else in that division over 500. The Reds are 20-22, Milwaukee 20-22. Pittsburgh, who just fired Derek Shelton, they are 14-28. They got rid of their manager. And they are, rightfully so, having a really rough start to the year. And then in the NL West, rounding things out, the Dodgers with the best record in baseball, 27-14. San Diego, 25-15 is a game and a half back. The Giants are 3.5 back at 24-18. Arizona, 5.5 back. They are 22-20. And the other team that fired their manager are the Colorado Rockies. Bud Black was relieved of his duties. They are 7-34. They are on a White Sox pace of last year It has been a really, really rough start to the season so far for the Rockies. Like I said, those two teams that have fired their managers, the Phillies will face coming up in this week and next week. They face the Pirates, who I mentioned over the weekend for three. Pirates 14-28, bad start to the year, fired their manager, should be a serious win for the Phillies. Colorado for four directly after that, Monday through Thursday of the next week. They are in Colorado for a four-game stretch against a team that has only won seven games so far on the season. The Phillies have not played well in Colorado in recent memory, but they are going there next week and look to see them start stacking some wins against those bad teams as we get closer and closer to next week. All right, that's going to do it for me on this edition of Phillies Today. Phillies tonight, 6:45 start time, I believe, as long as this game gets started at the right time, 6:45 start time. Will the rain hold out? Remains to be seen. Jesus Luzardo versus Sonny Gray should be a good matchup if we are able to get this game in. Hopefully the Phillies can get to Sonny Gray like they did last year. I'll be back with you guys next week to talk more Phillies. 4-2 homestand is what I'm looking for here before they go on the road for seven next week. So if they can go 4-2 on this road, on this homestand after a 5-1 road trip, things are going to be looking up for the Phillies. So keep your fingers crossed for that. And we will talk next week. Go Phils.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.